Okay, so imagine this. You're a veteran, you've served your country, and now you're dealing with a serious health issue. You need some specialized care, right? So you turn to the VA, the system that's supposed to be there for you. But instead of getting that timely help that you need, you're caught in this web of bureaucratic delays, paperwork's piling up, and the system seems to be making things harder, not easier.
It's so frustrating.
This was the reality for some veterans at the Buffalo VA, and it sparked national outcry and a deep dive into what went wrong and how to fix it.
Yeah, this situation raises some serious questions about accountability and transparency within the VA healthcare system. And you know what's really troubling is this isn't an isolated incident. The problems in Buffalo, they point to bigger systemic issues that could be affecting veterans all across the country.
That's exactly right. And to get to the bottom of this, we've got a stack of sources for you today. We're talking Senate hearing transcripts, press releases from Senator Schumer and Senator Gillibrand, even a tweet that went viral. So we're getting multiple angles on this complex story.
I mean, having those different perspectives is key because it helps us connect the dots. You know, we can see how lawmakers are reacting, what investigators are uncovering, and how this is impacting veterans, you know, on a personal level.
So let's start with the Buffalo VA crisis itself. The VA Inspector General report, let's just say it paints a pretty bleak picture.
Yeah, it's definitely a wake-up call. The report found that critically ill patients at the Buffalo VA, they were facing significant treatment delays, sometimes stretching for months. And the reason, failures in the community care consult processing. Basically, the system for referring veterans to specialists outside the VA was breaking down.
And we're not talking about minor inconveniences here. This report highlights some truly heartbreaking cases.
One that really stands out is a veteran who tragically died while waiting for palliative radiation therapy.
Oh my God.
Think about that, waiting for treatment that could have eased the pain and suffering from stage four cancer.
It's awful.
It's a stark reminder of the human cost of these failures.
It's devastating. And there are more stories like that in the report. There's a patient who waited 9 weeks for radiation therapy. For a new cancer malignancy, even with the chief of oncology advocating for them. It's like the system was working against the medical professionals trying to provide care.
It just underscores how deeply rooted this problem is.
Right.
And then you have the case of a younger veteran who endured seizures for 10 months.
10
10
months.
months while waiting for a consult.
Gosh.
It turned out that a referral was canceled by the community care medical director,
Wow.
further delaying his care.
It's just infuriating.
And it's not just about the delays themselves. You know, it's about the lack of transparency, the feeling that veterans are being left in the dark, not knowing what's happening with their care or why it's taking so long. This can erode trust in the system and leave veterans feeling abandoned and betrayed.
So how did Congress respond to this crisis? I mean, these are pretty damning findings.
Well, they didn't just sit on their hands. Senator Schumer and Gillibrand, along with Representatives Kennedy and Langworthy, they took immediate action. They called for a nationwide GAO investigation into VA community care consult practices. It's basically saying we need to figure out if what happened in Buffalo is a widespread problem.
That's a big deal. It's not just about fixing Buffalo, it's about making sure this doesn't happen anywhere else. So what specifically will the GAO be looking at?
Okay, they're focusing on four key areas: oversight of high-risk and complex cases, how consults are prioritized and how timely they are, how the VA responds when concerns about delays are raised, and finally, how to address leadership deficiencies. These are all critical pieces of the puzzle.
So they're looking at the processes and the people involved, trying to understand why these breakdowns are happening and who's accountable for fixing them.
Think of it like a doctor diagnosing a patient.
Okay.
You need to figure out the root cause of the illness, not just treat the symptoms.
Yeah.
That's what the GAO investigation is aiming to do, find the underlying systemic issues that led to these failures in Buffalo and hopefully prevent them from happening again.
That makes sense. This is all happening against the backdrop of a Senate hearing on VA accountability that took place on October 25th, 2023. It seems like the Buffalo crisis brought this issue to the forefront.
The Buffalo crisis threw a spotlight on the larger issue of holding people accountable within the VA. And what's fascinating is that this hearing brought up even more concerns.
Okay.
Senator Tuberville, for example, expressed outrage over a specific settlement that the VA had made with the American Federation of Government Employees.
Okay, now this is where things get interesting. What was so controversial about this settlement?
Well, the settlement resulted in the reinstatement of VA employees who had been fired for what was termed grievous misconduct.
Okay.
And we're not talking about minor infractions here.
Right.
These are serious offenses. We're talking patient abuse, endangerment, even criminal activity.
Wait, hold on. So employees who were fired for putting veterans at risk were allowed to come back to work?
Yeah.
That seems counterintuitive to the whole idea of accountability.
Right. You'd think if you're trying to improve care for veterans, you wouldn't bring back employees with a history of harming them.
Right.
This raises serious questions about whether the VA is truly prioritizing the safety and well-being of veterans, or if other factors are at play.
This settlement definitely threw fuel on the fire of this whole accountability debate. It makes you wonder if the 2017 VA Accountability and Whistleblower Protection Act, the one that was supposed to make it easier to discipline or fire employees for misconduct,
right,
is actually working as intended.
That's the million-dollar question. Is the law itself flawed, or is it a problem with enforcement?
Mm.
And if it's the law, what needs to change to make it truly effective?
Right.
These are the questions that lawmakers are grappling with right now.
This is definitely a deep dive, and we've only just scratched the surface.
Yeah.
But before we move on, I think it's worth stepping back and thinking about what this really means for veterans on a personal level.
Yeah, you're right. We can talk about investigations and legislation all day long.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, this is about people's lives.
Exactly.
It's about veterans who are relying on the VA for their health care, for support, for peace of mind.
And when the system fails them, it's not just a bureaucratic snafu.
Right.
It's a betrayal of trust.
Yeah, it's a message that says, your service, your sacrifice. It doesn't matter enough for us to get this right.
Yeah, think about it. You've served your country. Maybe you face danger, put your life on the line.
Mm.
You come home and you need help.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a physical injury. Maybe it's mental health support. Whatever it is,
yeah,
you deserve timely quality care. But instead, you're stuck navigating a system that feels more like an obstacle course than a helping hand.
It's like adding insult to injury.
Yeah.
And that feeling of being let down, of being forgotten, it can have a ripple effect.
Right.
It can make veterans hesitant to seek help in the first place, or it can erode their faith in the system altogether.
That's why this issue of accountability is so crucial. It's not just about punishing wrongdoers.
Right.
It's about creating a culture where veterans feel valued, where their needs are prioritized, and where they can trust that the VA will have their backs.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we've talked about the human costs of these failures, the impact on veterans themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another piece of this puzzle that's equally important.
Help.
The people working within the VA.
Yeah.
The doctors, nurses, administrators, all the folks trying to make the system work.
You got it. These are individuals who have chosen to dedicate their careers to serving veterans.
Right.
They're often working in incredibly challenging environments, dealing with complex cases, limited resources, and sometimes bureaucratic roadblocks that would make your head spin.
And yet they show up every day trying to make a difference in the lives of veterans. And let's be honest, many of them are doing an amazing job.
Oh, absolutely.
Despite the obstacles.
We can't paint everyone within the VA with the same brush.
Right.
There are countless dedicated professionals within the VA who are deeply committed to providing the best possible care for veterans.
But here's the thing. Even the most dedicated, well-intentioned employees can be hampered by a system that's broken.
Yeah.
And that brings us to one of the key issues that keeps popping up in this discussion.
Yeah.
The VA's hiring process.
Yes, the hiring process. It's like trying to navigate a labyrinth blindfolded.
It's terrible. We heard from Senator King during the hearing about how ridiculously long it takes the VA to hire someone.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking an average of 250 days compared to just 56 days for a private healthcare system nearby.
It's crazy.
250 days. That's almost an entire school year. Can you imagine waiting that long to fill a crucial position?
I know it's no wonder the VA is struggling to attract and retain top talent.
It's a self-inflicted wound, really. The VA has this incredibly complex, multi-step hiring process.
Yeah.
Senator King mentioned something like 24 steps compared to just 7 for that private system he was talking about.
Oh, wow.
24 steps. Seriously. It's no wonder things get bogged down.
I know.
What are some of these steps anyway? Is it really necessary to make it this complicated?
Well, you got your standard steps like posting the job screening applications, conducting interviews, checking references, but then you add in this extra layer of federal regulations and requirements, and things start to spiral out of control.
Yeah.
It's death by a thousand paper cuts.
And it's not just about the paperwork, right? There's also this issue of pay disparities.
Mm-hmm.
The VA often struggles to compete with private sector salaries, especially in certain areas like rural communities.
Yeah, Senator Manchin brought that up during the hearing. It's a valid point.
Yeah.
If you're a highly skilled medical professional, you're going to go where you can earn a decent living.
Right.
And sometimes that means choosing a private hospital over a VA facility.
It's like the VA is shooting itself in the foot. They're making it harder to attract the best people, and then they're wondering why they're struggling to provide quality care.
Yeah, it's a vicious cycle.
And it's the veterans who end up suffering in the end.
Exactly. Each empty position, each unfilled role,
right,
it translates to longer wait times, delays in care, and ultimately a system that's not meeting the needs of those it's supposed to serve.
Okay, so we've identified a major problem, the VA's broken hiring process.
Mm-hmm.
But what are the solutions? Is anyone trying to fix this?
Well, there are some promising developments on that front. Remember the LAID Act we discussed earlier?
Yeah.
It tackles this issue head on.
Okay.
It proposes a pilot program to streamline the hiring process for critical positions, cutting through some of that red tape and hopefully speeding things up.
So they're trying to cut through the bureaucracy and make it easier to get qualified people into those crucial roles.
Yeah.
But what about the pay disparities? Does the LAID Act address that as well?
It does. The LAID Act calls for a comprehensive review of the VA's pay structure.
Okay.
With the goal of making sure salaries are competitive and that there are incentives to attract and retain top talent, especially in those hard-to-fill positions in rural areas.
So it's about recognizing that you need to invest in your workforce if you want to provide quality care.
Exactly.
You can't expect to attract and keep the best people if you're not offering competitive salaries and benefits.
You got it. And it's about understanding that this isn't just a budget issue.
Right.
It's an investment in the well-being of our veterans.
Absolutely.
Every dollar spent on attracting and retaining qualified professionals is a dollar invested in improving the lives of those who have served our country.
But of course, the LAID Act isn't a magic bullet. It's still just a proposal. And there's a lot of debate about whether it'll actually be passed into law, and if it is, whether it'll be effective.
Yeah, and there are also some concerns about certain aspects of the LAID Act.
Okay.
We talked earlier about how the VA is hesitant about the idea of creating an Office of General Counsel within the OAWP.
Uh-huh.
They're worried about maintaining the independence of investigations.
Right. They want to make sure that investigations into wrongdoing are conducted impartially, without any influence from the VA's legal team.
Exactly.
It's about maintaining that separation of powers, so to speak.
Exactly. But there are other concerns as well.
Okay.
Labor unions, for example, have raised some red flags about the LAID Act.
Mm-hmm.
They're worried that certain provisions could undermine worker rights and collective bargaining agreements.
So it's a balancing act.
Yeah.
You want to ensure accountability, but you also want to make sure that employees are treated fairly and have a voice in the process.
And that's a theme that keeps coming up in this discussion,
right?
Finding the right balance. It's about creating a system that holds people accountable for wrongdoing, while also protecting the rights of employees and fostering a culture of fairness and transparency.
And that balance is essential for building a strong and effective VA. It's about creating an environment where everyone,
right,
from the frontline staff to the leadership, is working together towards the same goal.
Yeah.
Providing the best possible care for our veterans.
It's about moving away from a culture of blame and punishment and towards a culture of accountability, continuous improvement, and shared responsibility.
And that shift in culture is what's ultimately going to make the biggest difference for veterans. It's about creating a system where their needs are truly at the center, where they feel heard, respected, and valued.
Because at the end of the day, it's not about the laws or the regulations or the bureaucratic processes. It's about the people.
It is.
It's about those who have served our country and those who have dedicated their careers to serving them.
It's about remembering that behind every statistic, behind every report, behind every headline,
there are real people whose lives are being impacted. And it's our responsibility to make sure that those people are getting the care and support that they deserve.
And that responsibility doesn't stop with lawmakers or VA officials. it extends to all of us.
That's right.
We all have a role to play in holding the VA accountable and ensuring that our veterans are treated with the dignity and respect that they've earned.
Now, we've covered a lot of ground today, but there's still one crucial piece of this puzzle we haven't discussed yet.
Okay.
The role of whistleblowers. These are the brave individuals who speak up when they see something wrong, even when it's risky, even when it could cost them their jobs.
It's like that old saying, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing.
Yeah.
Whistleblowers are the ones who refuse to stay silent. They're the ones who stand up and say, this isn't right. We need to do better.
But let's be real. Blowing the whistle is rarely easy.
Right.
It takes guts to challenge the status quo, especially when you're going up against a powerful institution like the VA. Imagine this. You're working at a VA facility. You see something that's putting veterans at risk.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's negligence. Maybe it's a cover-up.
Right.
Whatever it is, you know, it's wrong.
Yeah.
But speaking up could mean jeopardizing your job, your career,
yeah,
even your reputation.
It's a tough choice. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, there have been cases where VA whistleblowers have faced retaliation, intimidation, even threats for coming forward.
Oh, yeah. It creates this chilling effect,
yeah,
where people are afraid to speak up.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to become the next target.
And that's where the 2017 VA Accountability and Whistleblower Protection Act was supposed to make a difference. Remember, this act wasn't just about making it easier to discipline employees.
Right.
It was also about empowering whistleblowers and protecting them from retaliation.
Absolutely.
So how did it try to do that? What kind of protections did it put in place?
Well, for starters, it created the Office of Accountability and Whistleblower Protection, the OAWP.
Okay.
This office is specifically tasked with investigating whistleblower complaints and making sure that those who come forward are protected from any kind of backlash.
It's like having a dedicated watchdog within the VA,
right,
specifically focused on protecting those who speak up. But the question is it actually working?
That's the million-dollar question. There's evidence that the OAWP has made some progress in addressing whistleblower concerns, but there are still major challenges.
Like what?
Well, we heard during that Senate hearing that a shocking number of VA employees still don't feel comfortable reporting wrongdoing because they're afraid of retaliation.
That's pretty disheartening. It seems like fear is still a huge barrier, even with these protections in place.
It is. It's like they're stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Mm-hmm.
They know they should speak up, but they're terrified of the consequences.
And that's where the Lane Act comes in. One of its key goals is to build on the foundation of the 2017 Act and further strengthen those whistleblower protections.
Exactly.
It's about making it clear that the VA is serious about supporting those who come forward and creating a culture where speaking up is encouraged, not punished. So how does the LED Act try to achieve that? What's different about its approach?
Well, one of the key proposals is to require more comprehensive training for VA employees about their rights as whistleblowers.
Oh, okay.
It's about making sure that everyone understands what whistleblowing is, what protections are available, and how to report wrongdoing safely and effectively.
It's like giving employees the tools and the knowledge they need to feel empowered to speak up.
Exactly.
But what about when retaliation does happen? How does the LED Act address that?
That's another important aspect of the LED Act. It proposes establishing an independent review process for whistleblower retaliation claims.
Okay.
This means that if someone feels they've been retaliated against for blowing the whistle,
right,
they have a clear path to seek justice outside the existing VA chain of command.
So it's about creating a more impartial system for handling these claims so that whistleblowers feel like they'll actually be taken seriously and that their complaints won't just be swept under the rug.
Right. It's about building trust and ensuring that the process is fair and transparent.
Yeah. The LED Act also addresses another common complaint from whistleblowers.
Okay.
The lack of communication and transparency throughout the investigation process, Senator Hassan was particularly vocal about this during the hearing.
Oh, yeah.
She pointed out that whistleblowers often feel left in the dark, not knowing what's happening with their cases, whether they're being taken seriously or what the timeline is. It's like this black hole of uncertainty.
Right.
And it can be incredibly frustrating and demoralizing.
Absolutely. And the LED Act proposes a simple but effective solution.
What's that?
Regular updates. It would require the VA to notify whistleblowers about the status of their complaints more frequently.
Okay.
Keeping them in the loop and letting them know that their case is being actively investigated.
It seems like such a basic thing, but it can make a huge difference in terms of building trust and making whistleblowers feel like they're not being ignored or forgotten.
It's about treating whistleblowers with respect and recognizing that they're playing a vital role in improving the VA and ensuring that it lives up to its mission of caring for veterans.
Because let's be honest, whistleblowers are often the canary in the coal mine.
Right.
They're the ones who see the problems firsthand, and they're the ones who have the courage to sound the alarm by protecting them and creating a culture where they feel safe coming forward.
Mm-hmm.
We can actually prevent these problems from escalating into larger crises.
Think about it. If those whistleblowers in Buffalo had felt safe speaking up sooner, maybe those tragic delays could have been avoided.
Right.
Maybe lives could have been saved.
It's possible.
It's about shifting from a reactive approach to a proactive one.
Yeah.
It's about addressing problems before they become tragedies.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into VA accountability, what's the key takeaway? What's the message we want to leave our listeners with?
I think the key message is this VA accountability isn't just a political issue or a bureaucratic issue. It's a human issue. It's about real people. Both those who have served our country and those who are working within the VA to care for them.
And it's about recognizing that we all have a role to play in ensuring that the VA is a system that truly works for veterans.
Mm-hmm.
It's about staying informed, engaging in the conversation,
yeah,
and holding our elected officials accountable for making the necessary changes.
The LEAD Act is just one piece of the puzzle, and it's still being debated.
Right.
But regardless of what happens with that specific legislation, the conversation about VA accountability needs to continue.
Absolutely.
We need to keep pushing for reforms, keep shining a light on problems, and keep advocating for the needs of our veterans.
And remember, this deep dive is just the beginning. We've provided you with information, insights, and different perspectives, but it's up to you to take it from here.
Exactly.
Do your own research, explore the proposed legislation, listen to the voices of veterans and VA employees, and form your own conclusions.
And most importantly, don't be afraid to speak up.
Yes.
Share your thoughts on social media using the hashtag VA Deep Dive.
That's a great idea.
Let's keep this conversation going and work together to create a better future for our veterans.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Thanks for having me.
So we were talking about how this settlement really threw fuel on the fire of this whole accountability debate.
It really did.
And it makes you wonder, you know, if the 2017 VA Accountability and Whistleblower Protection Act,
yeah,
the one that was supposed to make it easier to discipline or fire employees for misconduct,
right,
if it's actually working as intended.
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question.
Right.
Is the law itself flawed, or is it a problem with enforcement?
Mm-hmm.
And if it is the law, then what needs to change to make it truly effective?
Exactly.
These are the questions that lawmakers are grappling with.
Okay, so we've talked about the human cost of these failures, the impact on veterans themselves.
Right.
But there's another piece of this puzzle that's equally important.
Okay.
And that's the people working within the VA, the doctors, the nurses, the administrators, all the folks who are trying to make the system work.
Yeah, you got it.
You know.
These are individuals who have chosen to dedicate their careers to serving veterans.
Right. And they're often working in incredibly challenging environments, dealing with complex cases, limited resources.
Yeah.
And sometimes bureaucratic roadblocks that would make your head spin.
Oh, absolutely.
And yet they show up every day trying to make a difference in the lives of veterans. And let's be honest, many of them are doing an amazing job despite the obstacles.
Yeah. I think it's really important to remember that we can't paint everyone within the VA with the same brush.
Of course.
You know, there are countless dedicated professionals within the VA who are deeply committed to providing the best possible care for veterans.
But here's the thing. Even the most dedicated, well-intentioned employees can be hampered by a system that's broken.
Right.
And that brings us to one of the key issues that keeps popping up in this discussion, the VA's hiring process.
The hiring process,
yeah,
is like trying to navigate a labyrinth blindfolded.
We heard from Senator King during the hearing about how ridiculously long it takes the VA to hire someone.
Oh my gosh, it takes forever.
An average of 250 days.
Wow.
Compared to just 56 days at a private healthcare system nearby.
That's unbelievable.
250 days, that's almost an entire school year.
I know.
Can you imagine waiting that long to fill a crucial position?
It's no wonder they're struggling to attract and retain top talent.
It's a self-inflicted wound, really.
Yeah.
The VA has this incredibly complex multi-step hiring process.
Uh-huh.
Senator King mentioned something like 24 steps. Compared, yeah, to just 7 for that private system that he was talking about.
Oh, wow.
24 steps. Seriously.
Yeah.
Is it really necessary to make it this complicated?
Well, you've got your standard steps like posting the job. you know,
right.
screening applications, conducting interviews, checking references.
Uh-huh.
But then you add in this extra layer of federal regulations and requirements,
yeah.
and things just start to spiral out of control.
It's death by a thousand paper cuts.
Exactly.
And it's not just about the paperwork, right? Yeah. There's also this issue of pay disparities.
Right.
The VA often struggles to compete with private sector salaries, especially in certain areas like rural communities.
Yeah, Senator Manchin brought that up during the hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a valid point. If you're a highly skilled medical professional, you're going to go where you can earn a decent living.
Of course.
And sometimes that means choosing a private hospital over a VA facility.
So it's like the VA is shooting itself in the foot.
Totally.
They're making it harder to attract the best people, and then they're wondering why they're struggling to provide quality care. It's a vicious cycle.
It is, and it's the veterans who end up suffering in the end.
Every empty position, each unfilled role, it translates to longer wait times, delays in care, and ultimately a system that's not meeting the needs of those it's supposed to serve.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've identified a major problem.
Okay.
The VA's broken hiring process. But what are the solutions? Is anyone trying to fix this?
Well, there's some promising developments on that front. Remember the Lay It Act we discussed earlier?
Yes.
It tackles this issue head on. It proposes a pilot program to streamline the hiring process for critical positions.
Mm-hmm.
Cutting through some of the red tape and hopefully speeding things up.
So they're trying to cut through the bureaucracy and make it easier to get qualified people into these crucial roles.
Exactly.
But what about the pay disparities? Does the LEAD Act address that as well?
It does. The LEAD Act calls for a comprehensive review of the VA's pay structure.
Okay.
With the goal of making sure salaries are competitive.
Right.
And that there are incentives to attract and retain top talent, especially in those hard-to-fill positions in rural areas.
So it's about recognizing that you need to invest in your workforce if you want to provide quality care.
Yeah.
You can't expect to attract and keep the best people if you're not offering competitive salaries and benefits.
Absolutely. And it's about understanding that this isn't just a budget issue.
Right.
It's an investment in the well-being of our veterans. Every dollar spent on attracting and retaining qualified professionals is a dollar invested in improving the lives of those who have served our country.
But of course, the LEAD Act isn't a magic bullet.
Right.
It's still just a proposal, and there's a lot of debate about whether it will actually be passed into law, and if it is, whether it will be effective.
And there are also some concerns about certain aspects of the LEAD Act.
Okay.
Such as, we talked earlier about how the VA is hesitant about the idea of creating an Office of General Counsel within the OAWP.
Right.
They're worried about maintaining the independence of investigations.
They want to make sure that investigations into wrongdoing are conducted impartially without any influence from the VA's legal team. It's yeah. about maintaining that separation of powers.
Exactly. But there are other concerns as well.
Okay.
Labor unions, for example, have raised some red flags about the LEAD Act. They're worried that certain provisions could undermine worker rights and collective bargaining agreements.
So it's a balancing act.
It is.
You want to ensure accountability, but you also want to make sure that employees are treated fairly and that they have a voice in the process.
And that's a theme that keeps coming up in this discussion. Finding the right balance.
Right.
You know, it's about creating a system that holds people accountable for wrongdoing,
mm-hmm.
while also protecting the rights of employees and fostering a culture of fairness and transparency.
And that balance is essential for building a strong and effective VA.
It is.
It's about creating an environment where everyone from the frontline staff to the leadership is working together towards the same goal, providing the best possible care for our veterans.
It's about moving away from a culture of blame and punishment
mm-hmm.
and towards a culture of accountability, continuous improvement, and shared responsibility.
And that shift in culture is what's ultimately going to make the biggest difference for veterans.
Right.
It's about creating a system where their needs are truly at the center, where they feel heard, respected, and valued.
Because at the end of the day, it's not about the laws or the regulations or the bureaucratic processes.
Right.
It's about the people. It's about those who have served our country and those who have dedicated their careers to serving them.
And it's about remembering that behind every statistic, behind every report, behind every headline, there are real people whose lives are being impacted. And yeah. it's our responsibility to make sure that those people are getting the care and support that they deserve.
And that responsibility doesn't stop with lawmakers or VA officials. It extends to all of us. We all have a role to play in holding the VA accountable and ensuring that our veterans are treated with the dignity and respect they've earned.
So in the last part of our deep dive, we're going to shift our focus to the experiences of whistleblowers within the VA.
Okay.
You know, these are the brave individuals who speak up when they see something wrong, right, even when it's risky, even when it could cost them their jobs.
It's like that old saying, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing.
Exactly.
Whistleblowers are the ones who refuse to stay silent. They're the ones who stand up and say, this isn't right. We need to do better.
But blowing the whistle is rarely easy. It takes a lot of guts to challenge the status quo, especially when you're going up against a powerful institution like the VA.
I mean, imagine this. You're working at a VA facility.
Mm-hmm.
You see something that's putting veterans at risk.
Yeah.
Maybe it's negligence. Maybe it's cover-up. Yeah. Whatever it is, you know, it's wrong. But speaking up could mean jeopardizing your job.
Right.
Your career.
Right.
Even your reputation.
It's a tough choice. And unfortunately, there have been cases where VA whistleblowers have faced retaliation, intimidation, even threats for coming forward.
Yeah, it creates this chilling effect where people are afraid to speak up because they don't want to become the next target.
And that's where the 2017 VA Accountability and Whistleblower Protection Act was supposed to make a difference.
Right.
This act wasn't just about making it easier to discipline employees. Okay. It was also about empowering whistleblowers and protecting them from retaliation.
Exactly.
So how did it try to do that? What kind of protections did it put in place?
Well, for starters, it created the Office of Accountability and Whistleblower Protection.
Mm-hmm.
The OAWP, this office, is specifically tasked with investigating whistleblower complaints and making sure that those who come forward are protected from any kind of backlash.
So it's like having a dedicated watchdog,
right,
within the VA specifically focused on protecting those who speak up. But the question is it actually working?
That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
There's evidence that the OAWP has made some progress in addressing whistleblower concerns, but there are still major challenges.
Such as?
Well, we heard during that Senate hearing that a shocking number of VA employees still don't feel comfortable reporting wrongdoing.
Wow.
Because they're afraid of retaliation.
It seems like fear is still a huge barrier, even with these protections in place.
It is. It's like they're stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Okay.
They know they should speak up, but they're terrified of the consequences.
And that's where the LEAD Act comes in.
Right.
One of its key goals is to build on the foundation of that 2017 Act and further strengthen those whistleblower protections. You know, it's about making it clear that the VA is serious about supporting those who come forward and creating a culture where speaking up is encouraged, not punished.
Absolutely.
So how does the LEAD Act try to achieve that? What's different about its approach?
Well, one of the key proposals is to require more comprehensive training for VA employees about their rights as whistleblowers.
Okay.
It's about making sure that everyone understands what whistleblowing is,
mm-hmm,
what protections are available, and how to report wrongdoing safely and effectively.
So it's like giving employees the tools and the knowledge they need to feel empowered to speak up.
Exactly.
But what about when retaliation does happen? How does the LEAD Act address that?
That's another important aspect of the LEAD Act. It proposes establishing an independent review process for whistleblower retaliation claims.
Okay.
So this means that if someone feels that they've been retaliated against for blowing the whistle, they have a clear path to seek justice outside the existing VA chain of command.
So it's about creating a more impartial system for handling these claims so that whistleblowers feel like they'll actually be taken seriously and that their complaints won't just be swept under the rug.
Right. It's about building trust and ensuring that the process is fair and transparent. The LEAD Act also addresses another common complaint from whistleblowers, the lack of communication and transparency throughout the investigation process.
Right. Senator Hassan was particularly vocal about this during the hearing.
Oh, yeah.
She pointed out that whistleblowers often feel left in the dark, not knowing what's happening with their case, whether they're being taken seriously or what the timeline is.
It's like this black hole of uncertainty.
It is, and it can be incredibly frustrating and demoralizing.
Absolutely, and the LEAD Act proposes a simple but effective solution.
What?
Regular updates. It would require the VA to notify whistleblowers about the status of their complaints more frequently, keeping them in the loop and letting them know that their case is being actively investigated.
It seems like such a basic thing.
Right.
But it can make a huge difference in terms of building trust and making whistleblowers feel like they're not being ignored or forgotten.
It's about treating whistleblowers with respect and recognizing that they're playing a vital role in improving the VA and ensuring that it lives up to its mission of caring for veterans.
Because whistleblowers are often the canary in the coal mine.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones who see the problems firsthand, and they're the ones who have the courage to sound the alarm. So by protecting them and creating a culture where they feel safe coming forward,
yeah,
we can actually prevent these problems from escalating into larger crises.
Right. Think about it. If those whistleblowers in Buffalo had felt safe speaking up sooner, maybe those tragic delays could have been avoided. Maybe lives could have been saved.
That's a really good point.
It's about shifting from a reactive approach to a proactive one.
Right.
It's about addressing problems before they become tragedies.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into VA accountability, what's the key takeaway? What's the message we want to leave our listeners with?
Well, I think the key message here is that VA accountability isn't just a political issue or a bureaucratic issue. It's a human issue. It's about real people, both those who have served our country and those who are working within the VA to care for them.
And it's about recognizing that we all have a role to play in ensuring that the VA is a system that truly works for veterans. It's about staying informed, engaging in the conversation, and holding our elected officials accountable for making the necessary changes.
The LEAD Act is just one piece of the puzzle, and it's still being debated. But regardless of what happens with that specific legislation, this conversation about VA accountability needs to continue.
Absolutely.
We need to keep pushing for reforms, keep shining a light on the problems, and keep advocating for the needs of our veterans.
And remember, this deep dive is just the beginning. We've provided you with information, insights, and different perspectives.
Uh-huh.
But it's up to you to take it from here. Do your own research, explore the proposed legislation, listen to the voices of veterans and VA employees, and form your own conclusions. And most importantly, don't be afraid to speak up. Share your thoughts on social media using the hashtag VA Deep Dive. Let's keep this conversation going and work together to create a better future for our veterans. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Thanks for having me.